This is Carol Kosivar, looking at education on KALW, and I'm joined by Lori Vargas, who is the district coordinator in San Francisco for a program called Mentoring for Success. Also with me is Kim Levine, who is a program manager also in San Francisco, who helps mentor young children and students here in San Francisco. So mentoring for success, Lori, why would a school district be involved in something like this?
Thanks for coming out and talking to us. One of the reasons why that we started this program was to look at how we can keep young people engaged on a positive level. And so really looking at it from a positive intervention that wasn't already happening and looking at how we can formalize some of the relationships that we know were occurring at schools.
So a lot of times kids are a little lost. They don't have someone to talk to. They have a problem but don't know where to find the answer.
Yeah, and that's where mentoring can really play a part. So the young person typically is matched with an adult at the school site, somebody who works there, who's taking time out of their day to intentionally spend time with a young person. They're building and developing a caring relationship. And so one of the ways that we really market our program is that this is a two-way street. It's not just an adult telling a young person what to do. It's that together they're building goals. It's the young person's voice that's at the core of that relationship to where they can decide what are the activities that they want to do. Most of the mentoring takes place at school, so it gives them that opportunity to try new things at the school site that they wouldn't have done before.
So this is a pretty big program. You have over 800 people who are mentoring students in over 50 schools, elementary, middle, and high school here in San Francisco. And Kim, you're a mentor. What's it like? What do you do?
You know, it is a positive experience, I believe, for both myself and the student that I mentor. I often think I get more out of it than she does, just seeing successes on a weekly basis and also spending time with a student in the school. Being in central office, it's always nice to know that we're helping at a bigger level, but being at the school, you can actually see the students and the success.
So you're going to go and visit your mentor this week. What would you do? What would you talk about?
Well, I always bring a couple of board games, and we don't always get to them. I'm often there at lunchtime, so we will share a school lunch together, and each having our own. And we may play Jenga, which I bring to the site. And on each Jenga, if you know what that is, they're building a little tower. They have questions when you take out each one. So we get deeper without her even realizing it, and it might be part of a game. But what makes you feel sad? How do you deal with certain areas? So it really is getting to know each other deeper and being able to provide some suggestions on how you can deal with different situations that may come up.
Well, it sounds as if you're helping to build self-confidence and the ability of a child to figure out if I'm having a problem, where to go. Lori, is that something that you see?
Absolutely. One of the ways that we look at it is that the mentor is just one piece of the pie. And so when difficulties come up, we want the mentor to explore with the young person where are the other areas that they can go to. And looking at it as it is the young person's support system. And knowing that that mentor is their adult ally, it is their friend. They are not the teacher, they are not the social worker, they're not the ATM or, you know, the taxi driver sort of thing. And so really developing that relationship to where the young person can begin learning some self-advocacy skills and putting that into action.
So I'm guessing that when youngsters are selected, it's not based on the youngster who is doing the best in school or has the greatest attendance. What you're looking for is a youngster who's having some challenges, and you believe by having this personal and trusting relationship, you can help build the bridge to success.
Yeah, we use a couple of internal programs that help us to identify some of the students as a starting point. So it could be that they have an IEP or a 504 plan, could be a foster youth, you know, students who are struggling attendance-wise. And then we also rely heavily on our site coordinators, so our school social workers, our nurses, counselors, to drive who's missing, who could potentially be falling through the crack. And sometimes it could be that it's somebody who's academically succeeding, but in the social-emotional world, they're not. And I can think in particular of one student when she was in sixth grade at her middle school. She was matched because she had lower self-esteem. She had lower social-emotional kind of skills in being able to connect with young people. And it was the fact that she was matched with her mentor, who happened to be outgoing and fun, engaged her on a different level to where she really broke out of her shell by the time she was in eighth grade. And you could really see her personality develop over time.
Let me just remind you, this is Carol Kosovar, looking at education on KALW. And I am joined by Lori Vargas, who is the district coordinator here in San Francisco on a program called Mentoring for Success. This is a program that serves elementary schools, mostly elementary school youngsters, middle school and high school. Both of you, and I talk to you, I can see a little bit of a glow here about this isn't just a program that someone has said, oh, guys, you do it. We're required to do it. This is something that's more for you, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Watching an adult take time out of their day to spend with a young person and seeing the young person light up when they know that their mentor, like Kim, is showing up to school today, or that it's their special time with that adult. And a lot of times people think that in high schoolers don't want to sit down and talk to an adult. They don't want to be friends with them. But when they realize that those adults are not there to tell them what to do, but to help guide them, it really makes a big difference.
So, Kim, if you were going to pick one or two things that you've gotten out of mentoring, what would they be?
Just really seeing the success of the student that I get to spend time with. She's doing better in school. She definitely is involved with outside activities, and just seeing her thrive in the school setting and outside of the school setting too. I've gone to basketball games at the YMCA that she's involved with. I was just invited to a choir-type performance that she's in tonight. So I'm not sure if I'm able to make it, but there's always just the fact that she's growing as a person.
One of the things that school districts are moving towards in looking at success is looking beyond test scores. They're looking at, is the school creating a nurturing, supportive climate? Because many times people believe that that is the foundation, the basis for additional success.
One of the activities that we do in our mentoring program is we have monthly activities. So we bring the mentors and the mentees together, allowing them to come together, spend an activity, share a snack, things like that. And so they're really building this larger sense of, it's not just me. I'm not the only one that has a mentor. And so it allows them to engage on a deeper level with other members of their community, and really staying connected.
And it's fun. I mean, some of the different programs being offered is working with the Pacific Leadership Institute, where they're doing ropes courses. They're going to baseball games. There's also some fun extracurricular activities that are offered for mentees and mentors that make it not only successful on so many levels, but fun for everybody.
So you also are working with the AmeriCorps program.
Yes. Yes, we have a couple of years ago, we had AmeriCorps members that were helping us out to run the monthly activities and coordinating the activities at the school site. And we saw the impact that they were making, not only to the schools, but to the young people. So we actually devised our own AmeriCorps program. We are in our second year. It's called Healthy Choices AmeriCorps. The AmeriCorps members are assigned to 1 to 2 schools, and they're helping to coordinate the monthly activities as well as the larger program. So they're learning program implementation. They're also getting to be a mentor. So they're understanding on a deeper level what that connection looks like. And in the end, they're helping to build that positive school climate to keep young people engaged.
So if people want to find out more information about Mentoring for Success, where do they go?
our website, healthiersf.org. That's HEALTHIERSF.org.
And just look for Mentoring for Success on the website. So just one more question, Lori. I know you're really, really involved in it. Why personally are you doing it? Why do you do it?
This is always where I cry. Mm-hmm. Because it really does make a difference for both the mentors and the mentees. I think about when I was younger and how I had opportunities to have natural mentors, the choir director when I was in church, another staff member at the elementary school that I went to, the counselors who would reach out to me. And oftentimes the young people don't have the same amount of access to those natural mentors. And so this allows us to help facilitate the caring relationships that they have already outside of the home with their, in their home, I should say. They have caring adults in their family members. And so this is just helping to extend beyond that.
I'd really like to thank both Lori Vargas and Kim Levine for joining me, talking about Mentoring Success, how the school district in San Francisco is intentionally creating trusting relationships with students so that they have the opportunity to succeed. This is Carol Kosovar, looking at education on KALW.